The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kyrie Irving just spoke to the media. I missed like the first 2 minutes of it because I couldn't get the speaker to play. I'm back at work, as you can see, in a suit and tie if you have ESPN Plus. Molly and Stephen A. were in studio. I said, ooh, I'm going to get in on that. Back in studio. And couldn't get the speaker in my office to work on TV there. I'm a little bit technologically backwards. And so if I missed the first 2 minutes, what'd he say? But actually what I caught, and then I heard it later, and oh, come on, Kyrie, answer some questions. I'm going to play the sound for you in a second. I'm going to break down what's up with Kyrie. What I heard later on was a guy who, at this point, for the first time, I felt like was reaching out and wanted to be understood. Wasn't, Kyrie is weird. He can act condescending, and then when he talks, you're like, Kyrie, you're not in the position to be condescending if this is how you articulate your so-called thoughts. And it's kind of like in the guise of trying to kind of get along. But I actually felt like his attitude was he wants to get along, and he was happy to be back. We're going to get into that in a second. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Oh, it's been a long time. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Mets fired GM Jared Porter. New team owner Steve Cohen tweeted his decision Tuesday, less than 24 hours after ESPN's Mina Kimes and Jeff Passan reported that Porter sent graphic, uninvited text messages and images to a female reporter in 2016 when he was working for the Cubs. And I know, like, when I say uninvited text messages and images, one image was of a pick with a word that rhymes with pick. A blank pick. That's really smart of him, I think. What's he doing? What's he doing? On no level do I understand this. Porter, who's 41, was hired on December 13th to help lead Cohen's front office. In, quote, my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it, Cohen tweeted. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. There's so much to get into. First of all, like, so it's a Korean reporter who is thinking reportedly that, like, what, is this some cultural thing I'm not aware of here where this is, like, acceptable? Didn't know what to make of it. Guy sent her 60 unanswered texts. 60. So first of all, like, to state the obvious, or maybe it's not obvious to everyone, if a woman wants to, you know, seek professional employment and pursue a career, she should be able to do so without unwanted, not to mention unprofessional, sexual advances, even if it's over text. Because it gets tied in with access, whether or not, because when Jared Porter, the fired GM, at the time, after his 60th text, she texts him back, stop, he apologized. To his credit, he apologized. But not so much to his credit. He put her in that position in the first place. In other words, whether or not he's aware of the power dynamic, she's trying to do a job, and you know, many people in that circumstance would think, wait a minute, is my access, which I need to do my job, tied to some kind of social or personal requirement? It's bad news. But then on top of that, like, really, not to make light of it, does anyone think after 5 or 10 unanswered texts, it's good to keep sending a text? 15, 20, 25, 30, 36, 37, 38, no response. 39, 40, 41, no response. 52, 55, 58. And so, like, really? You want to? How thirsty can you possibly be? Ah, the next one, that's going to do it. So either it's an abuse of power. I mean, it's certainly an abuse of power. But in addition, the judgment. And by the way, you send a written record, even if you are so inclined. Why would you leave a written record and then send a picture? In no era would that be smart or obviously not proper. But by the way, there was a bit of Me Too movement. Now, you could say, well, yes, but this predates that. It's from 2015. Oh, my God. You know what the problem is for the Mets? Here's the good news for the Mets. Steve Cohen, within 24 hours, fires him. So that really is no tolerance, zero tolerance, right? But here's the bad news for the Mets. Even though new ownership says, okay, fine, you're out of here, they also hired him. And so the Mets, who just made the Lindor trade for the stud shortstop with the glove, with the bat, and by the way, got Carrasco in the deal, who's a real good mid-rotation starter. By mid-rotation standards, he's quite good. And the Yankees have a kind of a spending freeze, right? They need to stay under the luxury tax repeater threshold, all that. Hausteimer playing New York a little cheap. Steve Cohen spending the money the Wilpons couldn't because he was fleeced by Madoff. Finally, the clown show. Like, you know, Mets are the clown franchise and the Yankees are the heritage franchise, right? 27 championships, the Yankees, the gold standard in the history of American team sports by so much it's laughable. 27 championships? But every now and then, as it was in 86, the Mets, you know, put together a spunky little team and the Yankees are a little bit stale or a little flat, and the Mets can briefly take over the town. And it looked like, is it trending in that direction? Here come the Mets. And then this? Give Cohen credit for firing the guy, but he hired him in the first place. So it's just like, even if it turns out actually to be a good thing in the sense that it shows you, first of all, this reporter exposed Jared Porter's behavior in order that not only would people not repeat it, but that to set an example, you know, that women wouldn't have to go through that in the future to try to do her part to say, hey, she doesn't want anything. She's not suing as of now, anything like that. She just, you know, you can't do that. It's unprofessional to say the least. But it's a clown show. And even if the Mets get through it and say, hey, look, yes, it was a clown show, but we took care of it. It's a new regime. So when something, you can't foresee everyone's psychological, emotional problems. So as soon as we it came to our attention, we took care of it, yes. But until people see the fruits of that kind of corrective behavior, it stigmatizes the Mets further as the clown show. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. By the way, and before I move on, let me just say, a GM is supposed to be able to negotiate. Right, you have to play poker sometimes, not blink. You can't be amateurish in your negotiations, or even in your social discourse, in your interactions. What does it say about a GM? Whatever else bad it says, who has so little game, even like forget about some kind of pathology, just so little that they send 60 messages without a response. All right. That's it. I said my piece. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So Kyrie Irving faced the media. He's back. And in usual Kyrie fashion, let's just put it this way. You listen to the sound and tell me if you think he was direct in his response and satisfied the demand of the question. Here's Kyrie.
Hi, Kyrie. I'm wondering if you were aware that you had violated the health and safety protocols and what that process was like for you in coming back and going through that investigation, one. And then secondly, what your communication was like with the team while you were away.
Happy to be back. Happy to be around these guys. Address the team, address everybody that needed to be addressed. Now it's time to move on.
Bruce Beck. On
the health and safety front.
You know
I'm
what
sorry,
the problem?
Malika, go ahead.
I just was circling back on the health and safety front.
Happy to be back. Thank you.
You know what the problem with moving on? By the way, we hear this in our politics a lot. Now, we're going to move on. Let's forward direction, move on, bring everyone. You don't move on until you deal with the consequences of the behavior in the first place. If you never address the behavior, then there's no moving on. It must be addressed. So when Kyrie says he's addressed the team, really what he should say is, look, I have addressed your question. I've done it behind closed doors to my teammates. Then the follow-up would be in that case, okay, but what do you have to say to the fans? And it's fair for him to say, well, to the fans, I'll just say, I hope they can respect my privacy. I understand why they'd be frustrated with the fact that I haven't been there. All I can tell you is it feels to me that I had good reason not to be there, and et cetera. But to just say basically none of your business and I'm moving on, it's not really taking responsibility. You want to move past the point that you take responsibility without ever taking it. You can move past it, but first you take you have to be accountable first. And it seems like Kyrie didn't want to do that. It's time for Breaking Moves with ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Kendrick Perkins, NBA analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Perk, you there?
What's up, Max? Yeah, I'm here. What's happening?
Perk, first of all, before we get to anything, yeah, I guess people can Google it or maybe we can show it on ESPN+. I saw your son take that basketball out of that kid's hands and bop down the court. I've never seen arms stretched out that far from the body. He took it to a whole new level. I've never seen it. When did your boy start walking with his arms like that?
Man, Max, the crazy thing is that video is like 2 years old. He was 7 then. So imagine he's 9 now. So it's a different ball club. But, hey, he's just different. That's how we breed them down here in Texas, from old country Beaumont. That's how we do it.
What are you feeding that kid? He was 7? Perk.
Yeah, Max, I'm here.
What are you feeding him? 7 years old? What, magic beans like Jack and the Beanstalk? What are you feeding that kid?
I mean, you got to get it. Got to get his food in, man. He like his pops, but I'm trying to, I'm watching his weight right now because he's playing at another level right now. So he's advanced. Wait till you see the videos of him now, though, Max. He's a different type of player.
Is he going to be basketball or football? I know he's going to, that size, you're going to play a sport. Basketball or football?
Well, he plays both. Plays both right now. For football, he played tight end and nose guard. And then in basketball, obviously he played the center, but he could put the ball on the ground and he could shoot. Hey, look, Max, I'm just here to tell you, all right? He gonna be somewhere in that top 10 draft pick. Either it's gonna be football or basketball. I don't know which one, but he's gonna be there.
That's I'm not sitting here set telling you no. Not from what I saw. Perk. We've seen KD ball out of control. As I said earlier, James Harden rolled out of bed looking like a hot mess, showed up to Brooklyn fat, gave him 30 points with a triple-double. Like, it's unbelievable the old man YMCA game this dude has for the NBA. Do they need Kyrie? Does this team need Kyrie?
You know what? I tell you this, and I thought Stephen A. brought up a good point. They don't need Kyrie to get to the finals, but in order to win the championship, they do need Kyrie. Kyrie could come in and fit in, and if Kyrie comes in and buys in into his role, I mean, look the hell out. This team is going to be dangerous. This might be the most explosive offensive team we ever seen in NBA history. And like I keep repeating time and time again when I try to teach you, and be trying to, speak the gospel, but you don't be wanting to hear it. Kevin Durant is the best scorer to ever touch the damn basketball. And then you add a guy like James Harden, who's familiar with playing the point guard position. This is nothing foreign to him. You have to realize, when Mike D'Antoni took over in Houston, he moved James Harden to the point guard position. And what did he do, Max? He led the NBA in assists. So now you have a guy that's capable of putting up 30 and actually making others around him better. So the thing that I love about James and Kevin is both of those guys could play without the ball in those hands, like without being ball dominant. James could spot up and space the floor. So
actually, Kyrie if he chooses. Kyrie's actually a better shooter than James, believe it or not. Like, Kyrie can shoot the lights out, but sometimes he'll over-dribble. But if Kyrie chooses, he can be deadly without the ball.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, I think, you know, when you look at guys at this point of their career, for as KD, James, and Kyrie, they have accomplished everything that they needed, that they need to accomplish individually. Kevin Durant got 2 championships. Kyrie have 1. All these guys are, you know, still in their prime, borderline. Kyrie is still young a little bit. He haven't touched 30. But when you look at them, the only thing that they want to do is win the championship. So it shouldn't be hard for them to sacrifice, in my opinion.
You know what you bring up? When you bring that up, Perk, talking to Kendrick Perkins here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, I want you to listen to some KD sound. Because, you know, a lot of times an athlete will have his prime, and it's usually what we refer to as his physical prime. But then as he physically diminishes a little bit, he compensates with wisdom that he's gained through the years. And it seems to me that KD and Harden, if they're still in their physical primes, and they might be, are playing with a different kind of wisdom now. Kevin Durant talked about that. Or was he surprised that he and Harden could play so well together so quickly? And this is what KD said. I want you to listen.
We've been in the league for James' 12th year. James' 12th year, my 14th season. So we pretty much seen every defense, every offensive scheme. We done been in every type of game, playoffs, game sevens, you know. So we done been through a lot in this league, experienced a lot. And for us to bring it together now and combine what we've learned over this time and try to play great basketball, I think it was pretty seamless for us. You know, it was an easy transition, especially with James, you know, handling the ball a lot coming in. So we still trying to, you know, find our way, and, you know, we still got room to improve. But it's a solid start.
Perk, you ever see the? I know you're much younger than you appear, with your attitude, cranky old curmudgeon attitude. But you ever see The Last Dragon, the movie The Last Dragon?
No, I haven't.
Show Nuff.
No, I haven't.
Bruce Leroy. Oh, you see, you got to go check that out. KD and Harden show up with the glow like Show Nuff and Bruce Leroy. Like, they're doing whatever they want on the offensive end right now. Whatever they want. Do you think, like, based on what KD said, that they're better off together now than they would have been at any other point in their careers?
Absolutely. And you have to remember, Max, I was with both of those guys when they were with the Thunder, and
we went to the finals,
and they were young. So you have to realize they have matured. They have went on their own journey. They've made hundreds of millions of dollars. They've learned. They've been in multiple All-Star games. So when you look at them, they have nothing but growth. They know now that, just think, James Harden, the only thing on his resume that he's missing, besides probably winning Defensive Player of the Year, which he probably would never win, but the only thing that he's missing is winning the NBA championship. And you think he forced his way out of Houston to go to Brooklyn to just sit there and chill? No. He's showing us why he wanted to go over there and play, and he wanted to go play for a championship. They are playing agenda-free basketball. They're not forcing any shots. They're getting others involved. And the thing that I love about both of those guys is that, to me, they look happy. It looks like a joy to play with one another, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
All right, Kyrie will take care of that. Don't worry about that. He's coming back. He'll kill the joy.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you, look, if Kyrie buys in,
yes,
and he comes in and play his role and have the right mindset, hey, man, I'm telling you, this is a team that nobody is going to want to face.
This is what I'm saying, Perk. This is what I'm saying. Kyrie is necessary for them even to get to the finals, and I'll tell you why. They lost Dinwiddie, right? That made the Harden trade more important because they lost some depth and they needed some more high-end talent to compensate. But in order to get it, they had to trade LeVert and Allen. With Dinwiddie, that's 3 of their best 6 players, right? So now they have Harden and KD, and they're unstoppable. But Joe Harris is the only other real starter quality guy on the team. Respect to Jeff Green and DeAndre Jordan, but they are what they are. They're useful players. They're not really solid starting caliber players at this point in their careers. And when you look at what the Nets have, the dude's coming off an Achilles. You're going to play Harden and KD 45 minutes a game through the playoffs. Kyrie takes so much of the burden off of those two guys. I think they need him.
They do need them. And Max, that's what I'm telling you. So So at the end of the day, what I'm telling you is that you could, if Kyrie have the right mindset, you could have James, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and you could throw me and you in the starting lineup, and they still going to the finals, right? Right now, I'm talking about us right now. Not you in your high school days or whatever when you used to be playing in New York. I don't even want to vision that type of basketball, right? Because I don't even want to just see Max playing basketball.
No, you don't.
It's a nightmare. But they have too much firepower. And as we saw yesterday, they didn't play a lick of defense. The Bucks got whatever they wanted. But at the end of the day, they have too much offensive firepower and too many guys, those two, especially James and KD, that could just flat out put the ball in the bucket and get to the free throw line.
Listen, Perk, I need you to do one thing, okay? Stop feeding your boy gunpowder or whatever it is. Boy, that bop he did down the court. What are you teaching that kid? He's a monster. Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, you have to see his son. It was on Get Up. We re-aired it on First Take today. You have to see his son walk down the basketball court at the age of 7. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Up next, Deshaun Watson wants out. You heard me talk about him to Chicago. I got another team where everybody wins in the Deshaun Watson deal.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Are the Nets better off without Kyrie? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And by the way, Dallas, how you like your boy Kristaps Porzingis playing the second of back-to-back, giving you 23 points already? Boy, when that team gets back from COVID protocols and everything, when they get Kleba and Dorian Finney-Smith and everybody back, and Luka's really in shape, if Porzingis' health holds up, just mark my words. Dallas is a match for any. Dallas going to wind up, if they stay healthy, they're going to wind up in the conference finals. Check out Marvel Studios' WandaVision, original series now streaming only on Disney+. It's really smart of the Knicks to trade Porzingis, right? What'd they get out of that deal? Moronic trade. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson's reportedly not returning to the organization, returning the organization's phone calls. Good for him. Amid displeasure with the franchise's direction, according to ESPN's Sarah Barshop. Prescott has earned a PFF grade above 72 in every season of his career so far, and even recorded a career high mark of 85.2 up until his season-ending injury. It's a very short season, obviously, for him. Here's Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, of course, on Get Up This Morning talking to Deshaun.
Deshaun Watson has not returned calls from the organization. What we also know is that he's very unhappy with the way the organization has proceeded this offseason and has looked back at some of the organization's prior actions. What we can see here is that not only can Deshaun Watson request a trade, but he also could decide to withhold his services. And because of the no trade clause in his contract, the Texans have very little control here.
Here's the bottom line. As I said on First Take earlier today, the Texans gave him $160 million, something like that. They deserve zero credit for that. Oh, Deshaun should be grateful. Shut up. Anyone in the Texans organization, McNair on down, if you don't let me hear the words slip out of your mouth about Deshaun being grateful or an ingrate or anything like that about the money, shut up ahead of time. You did nothing, zero. Any organization ever that had Deshaun Watson would pay him exactly what you did. You don't get any credit for it. Anyone, by the way. Make him a free agent right now. Right now, make him a free agent. See how much money he gets. I'll bet you gets more than what you gave him. Now, Deshaun was, as Stephen A. pointed out on the air earlier today, he was like tearing with gratitude. Well, hell yeah, if someone gives you $160 million, even if you earned it, even if anyone else would have given it to you, you're happy. He has all the leverage. Texans have nothing. Let me tell you why. A man's reputation is very important. Oh, a person's reputation is important. Deshaun Watson's reputation is sterling. It's unimpeachable. He was great on and off the field, great on and off the field in college and in the pros. Everyone loves him. He leads. He wins. And yet, you ever talk to Deshaun Watson? Confident, but shows humility. He's exactly what you want leading your franchise and who you want leading your franchise. That's who you want, Deshaun Watson. And his reputation is such that when you hear he has irreconcilable differences with a team, you know it ain't his fault. No one's sitting there go, well, you know, that Deshaun Watson, you know, the team has a problem with him. It's probably his fault. No, you're thinking, hold on, the team got, could you imagine being so dysfunctional, being so inept that you have a 25-year-old franchise quarterback, all pro in his prime, and you alienate him? Could you imagine if someone said, you can't give up your first-round pick for the next 3 or 4 years to get Deshaun because there are a bunch of quarterbacks coming out in those drafts, and this one and that one, Trevor Lawrence, and let's say there's another Trevor Lawrence and another, you know, one of them, you know, they all look great, and one of them is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the world one day. You already have that. You have a 25-year-old super-duper star. By the way, Deshaun even has, like, he's not, like, too short or too slow or doesn't have enough arm or is not. He checks every single box. And were it not for Patrick Mahomes right now, he'd be the leader of all the young guns. And were it not, like, other than Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, forget about age and everything, who would you take over Deshaun Watson other than Mahomes and Rodgers? I'll take Deshaun over everyone else. Russell Wilson. Who else is there? Josh Allen? Who else? Just Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, whoever. Whoever you want to mention, I'll take Deshaun over them. And you messed that up? How did you do? But by the way, I feel like Anchorman, Will Ferrell and Anchorman, was talking to the dog. He's like, what, you Baxter, you ate the whole wheel of cheese. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. I'm not even mad at the Texans in a way. I'm just impressed. How'd you do that? It's like a magic trick. You alienated Deshaun Watson? It's the worst franchise in sports, or at least in football. No one wants any of those jobs in Texas. Now, here's the thing. I mentioned that Deshaun and the Bears would be a great fit. The Bears could redo that draft, basically, and get it right, take Deshaun. The Bears have never had a great quarterback in their whole history in the Super Bowl era. Never a great quarterback. And they've only won one Super Bowl. Deshaun might fix both those problems, right? And kill two birds with one stone? Why were people killing birds with stones, by the way? Anyway, point is, where's that come from? Cavemen walking around, pick up those are some birds. There must be a more efficient way to hunt birds, you would think, even than throwing stones at them. Anyway, where was I? The Bears would get their great quarterback, Deshaun. If he became an icon in Chicago, if he delivered a Super Bowl, oh my God. So I love him on the Bears. How about this? Everyone's talking about the Jets, and it makes a lot of sense, the Jets. They have draft capital. They have two firsts this year. They're not going to have Trevor Lawrence in the draft. And the Jets, because they're a dysfunctional franchise, need a foolproof quarterback. In other words, a guy is going to be great no matter where he goes. Just intrinsically great. Not relying on coaching. He's just great. That's Deshaun. Even the Jets can't screw that up. So I get him going to the Bears. I get him going to the Jets. But how's this? And guy in the boxing industry, actually, Greg Leon, texted me about this. It was something that I was kicking around with some friends, but he added a layer to it. You know, Dak Prescott hasn't been paid by the Dallas Cowboys. Deshaun Watson's been paid. His contract's taken care of, but doesn't want to be on the Houston Texans. Dallas obviously is in a tough spot with Dak because he wants to be paid like he's Deshaun. He ain't quite Deshaun. And he's coming off a big injury. But if you're the Texans and you want a franchise quarterback and someone offers you Dak Prescott, as long as you're willing to pay him, you got a franchise quarterback. If it's not workable with Deshaun, you may have to throw in some draft picks. But what Greg threw in as an extra layer, these dudes don't even have to leave state. You stay in state. You barely have to move. Where should Deshaun go? Axe Max coming up. Conor McGregor returns to the Octagon Saturday in a rematch against Dustin Poirier.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What happened down the stretch with the Lakers last night? Get into that in a few. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Not to mention, hey, L.A., what's up with McVay and Jared Goff? The reporting is they need a marriage counselor. That ain't good. Who do you think people like more, McVay or Goff? I think McVay is considered a better coach than Goff is a quarterback. Oh, someone, I'm about to give you the definition of two birds with one stone. I know what the definition is, Raj. I know what the definition of it is. Want to know where it comes from. Must have been some arm people had back then to kill two birds before bows and arrows or anything. And you get two of them. Good enough to get one bird with a stone. Stephen A. Smith goes beyond the headlines to unlock a unique world of hot takes, one-of-a-kind segments, and can't-miss interviews. Stream all this and more on his new show, Stephen A.'s World, exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. You can catch me every weekday on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus at 2 p.m. Eastern, along with Greeny at 10 a.m., then Barton Hahn at noon, and Shanae Ngolick Jr. at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Axe. Max.
All right. So let's talk about two birds with one stone. So, Raj just Wikipedia'd something here. All right. In its present form, apparently, the earliest printed record of the idiom, kill two birds with one stone, was found in 1656. Ah, the Icarus myth from Greek mythology, two birds with one stone. Ah, that's right, Raj. To make the wings, Icarus too, you can't fly too close to the sun on borrowed wings. Killed the birds with a stone, huh? Father and son who escaped the labyrinth on Crete. Right. So there it is, two birds with one stone. It's from mythology. I knew it had to be. Couldn't be from real life. People killing birds with stones? Do you know, I read, there's some crazy stat about how many house cats kill birds. Like how many birds are killed every year by house cats in the United States of America? Like I want to say it's in the billions. Why don't you look that up, Raj, with the useless facts over here. I think it's in the billions. Like house cats literally kill in the billions of birds. Billions with a B. Did I mention it was billions, Rob? Raj. Rob is in D.C. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I want Iguodala.
Iguodala. Gotcha. Oh, so last year at some point or 2 years ago, I said that with the game on the line, with the fate of the universe on the line, open look at three. Not go get your own three. Open look at three. I'd rather have Iguodala taking it than Steph Curry. I stand by that. Absolutely, 100%. Steph Curry is a far greater shooter than Iguodala, obviously. Steph's the greatest shooter of all time. But with the money on the line, Iguodala has ice water in his veins. Of course, he can't get his shot like Steph. Of course, any given shot, Steph's is more likely to go in. But with money on the line, when I said it, I believed it. And I believe it was true then. Steph's gotten to be a more clutch shooter. I never really thought of Steph as a clutch three-point shooter. And by the way, the proof in the pudding is, go look at the playoff record in late and close games with the money on the line. 4 minutes and 22 seconds, game 7, 73-win team, going to be the greatest ever. Just beat the Cavs, couldn't score a single point. Steph runs the offense, not just shoots. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I hope the Rams go after DeSean Jackson. Watson. And with the Nets. Watson.
Wait, you want, hold on, Mitch, you want the Jets, the football team to go after Deshaun Watson, am I right?
No, the Rams. I'm sorry, I'm a Rams.
Oh, the Rams to go over to go after Deshaun Watson. Not, you said Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My head's spinning. I'm sorry. A little nervous still, you know. I don't know why I've been calling you. I'm still getting nervous.
Yeah, people get nervous calling the radio. It's all right, Mitch. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Now, what is it you want to tell me?
With the Rams, because I think, you know, with Aaron Donald, you know, he's not going to play forever. Ramsey, and they have good wide receivers, and Higbee. The time to win is pretty soon.
Look, I think Watson would be great on the Rams, and I think McVay would love him. Considering, look, Jared Goff's a nice, solid NFL quarterback. considering that with McVay, he went to two Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl on his level of talent. What could McVay do with Deshaun Watson? You would think McVay with Deshaun Watson could win a Super Bowl. Nick in Nevada, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Thanks for taking my call. I was just asking, how can anyone argue that L.A. isn't the top powerhouse sports city in America right now?
At the moment, it is. It absolutely is. The Lakers and the Clippers, who are a powerhouse, but the Lakers are champs. The Rams made the playoffs again. They were in the Super Bowl not long ago. Dodgers just won the World Series. It is right now. L.A.'s number one sports town. That's right. It is. Trouble in Paradise with McVay and Goff, Max Kellerman Show.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.